Windows down, music up. Get ready to hit the road in a new Chevy SUV or truck. Chevy is a name you know and trust. It's Chevy as American as apple pie and baseball. Check out the full line of Chevy vehicles at your local Chevy dealer. Chevy, drive Chicago.
All right, that theme has introduced generations of fans to the golden age of radio for over 50 years. And Chicago's original old-time radio program was Those Were the Days, and still is, which started back in 1970 by Radio Hall of Famer Chuck Shaden, who helped launch the careers of Dean Richards, Carl Amari, who hosts WGN Radio Theater Sunday nights here on WGN, and Steve Darnall took over for Chuck back in 2009. Seems like a million years ago, dude. Doesn't it? Oh, my God. And also, he's the editor-in-chief of Nostalgia Digest magazine. What's going on, Steve?
Well, let's see. We've got this anniversary event coming up. You may have heard about that.
Yeah, but this is very cool. First of all, you know, when you think about 50 years, and I know... You know, Chuck retired 39 years to the day. He had to do the Jack Benny thing.
Pretty near, yes. I think he really appreciated the significance of 39.
Yes, yeah. He did. You know, would you think ever that this show, you know, that Chuck started in 1970 is still such a staple for so many people in Chicago?
It's really thrilling, you know, because I think the sounds do so much of the work.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these shows from 60 and 70 and 80 and 90 years ago. And yes, some have aged better than others. But the ones that have aged well are still, they're still funny and they're still tuneful and they're still thrilling and frightening or whatever it was they were meant to be.
Yeah.
And even the ones that haven't aged well, there's something kind of inherently strangely entertaining about them.
It absolutely is. Well, and I was going to say, so even before your time, and I want to talk about you and how you got all into this, but Chuck, you know, this was a guy, he was in the banking business, he was in all kinds of other businesses, but this was a passion of the great Chuck Shaden and decided to, you know, bring all this stuff to the air. And you think about it, it was 1970, so we're only... You know, 10 years after the last old-time radio show, it wasn't that long. It wasn't even old-time radio. It was classic, maybe, radio, but now we consider it a little bit more old-time. But back then, it wasn't as old as we think. Jack Benny was still doing TV at the time.
That's right.
Right? So,
well, I think, yeah, and yes, if you do the going back that many years, for us to go back 52 years, it's 1970. For Chuck to have gone back 52 years, it's 1918.
Right.
And that is really insane.
Yeah, the station wasn't even born yet.
Exactly. Radio was barely even born yet.
Yeah.
But yes, it's fascinating to think the shows do so much of the work. And I think you've hit upon something very important. Chuck followed his passion. And he, in turn, inspired a passion in a lot of us, myself included. And, you know, you hear the phrase follow your bliss a lot. But Chuck's really a perfect example of how you find the thing you love, and in the words of Wayne White, the artist, if you do the thing you love, it's going to lead you where you want to go.
Yeah, I think those are great words
and
to live by.
And we're very, very fortunate that the audience enjoys these shows as much as we do, and there's still something thrilling about getting to present them on the radio to an audience.
Right, right.
You know, in the sense, it's sort of like the analogy of like, you know, there's that strange house in your neighborhood, could be haunted.
Yeah.
Let's go in together and I'll go with you.
Yeah.
And we'll see what we find.
Funny you say that, because that's probably my most favorite genre of old time radio is the horror stuff, because it is true theater of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you're really and everyone in the room, you could have 10 people in a room. They all have a different vision of what that show's all about.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you think about all the shows that came out of Chicago, like Lights Out, that really pushed the envelope where sound effects were concerned.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's really, that's one of the things that's really thrilling too about getting to present these shows is you can explain them a little. It threatens to demystify them, but on the other hand, you know, if you compromise the magic of the sound, then there's the magic of someone creating the sound.
That's absolutely true.
Which I think is also great fun.
You know, we are the station too. We were Mutual. I think at some point we were a CBS affiliate and an NBC affiliate very, very early on. But, you know, we talk a lot about the history of GN Radio and the hosts, but we were the home of the Lone Ranger and some of those great shows that we shared with Mutual.
Coming through the hallway to talk with you today, you walk past the photographs of GN history and all the shows like the Chicago Theater of the Air and the Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters.
Tom Mix, yes.
You know, it is amazing to think, that's stuff that was just being produced down the hall and to see all the photos of how much radio meant to its audience. I mean, there's photos of performers at the Tribune building just performing literally in the front of the building. And there's a crowd going to the street on Michigan Avenue.
But you think how many, you know how many shows that have been lost over time. And that was the one thing that Chuck really did is he had, I don't know, 50, 60,000 shows or hours of programming that he collected. And he would find them like in unusual sources, like from the military when they would ship records overseas to play some of this stuff. So that's why a lot of this stuff still lives on. Am I right?
Absolutely, yeah. Chuck, and there were a number of people of his generation who were pursuing this as well. But Chuck certainly went out to find these shows. Sometimes he would trade with other collectors. Sometimes, as you say, he would get things from Armed Forces Radio Service, which had recorded all these shows in the 40s. Sometimes he would get them from the performers. You know, and that's amazing to think that someone who worked on a show in Chicago would still have these things decades later and turn them over to him. And of course, because they knew he would respect them and as he respected the field, as we've always tried to do it. Those were the days.
You know, and he interviewed so many, and I know you play some of those throughout the year, especially during Jack Benny Month, which is in February. You play, but he sat down with Jack, and that must have been the biggest, you know, part of his old-time radio life was getting to sit down with really the guy that really established it all.
And that was after he'd been on the air, what, 4 months?
Yeah.
You know, talk about hitting a home run first time out. Yeah, one of the things that Those Were the Days has always tried to do is present the stories that were part of the era, but also the stories of the people who made those sounds, you know, and whether that's actors or comedians, stars like Jack Benny or Milton Berle, or you know, writers like Norman Corwin or Arch Obler, or, you know, character actors, Shirley Mitchell, you know, who was on The Great Gildersleeve, or Peggy Weber, who did Dragnet and all those other shows. And that's something we've continued to do to this day. You know, it's been harder, of course. There are fewer performers in the 40s alive today. But over the years, since I took over in 2009, you know, we've talked with Jane Powell and Rose Marie and Bob Elliott from Bob and Ray and Carl Reiner a couple of times, who was an absolute prince of a guy.
Yes, he was.
And, you know, it's marvelous to be able to hear those stories from the people who were there. You know, I remember Harry Shearer, who, of course, is all over. He's this on The Simpsons for many, many years and Spinal Tap. But as a child, he was part of the Jack Benny program. And he still can talk about how he was 6 or 7 years old.
Crazy.
And his overriding memory is how loud Phil Harris's orchestra was. And of course it would be if you're 7 years old and here's this 15-piece band behind you.
Trying to play into one mic probably or several mics, whatever it might be. Well, there's that. And then, you know, there's a show that you sell at NostalgiaDigest.com. It's a DVD, but it was done in the late 70s. And forgive me, I don't remember the name, but it was a Steve Allen-hosted show.
I think the good old days of radio.
The good old days of radio. And really, that was the tail end. Like, a lot of those people were gone within years. But he had all the announcers, performers that were still around in the 70s to kind of salute the old genre. And people, all they did was recognize the voices. And they were, like, loud, like, screams of applause. Because those people is, you know, those are the people that these audience members grew up with.
Absolutely. I've seen that DVD you're talking about, and it's funny that when Don Wilson announces Jell-O and its six delicious flavors, the crowd goes absolutely wild. It's marvelous. And like I say, it's a shame that there are fewer of those performers with us today, but we're very grateful that they left behind the work. And of course, we're grateful that in some cases we're able to get their stories to our audience as well. But my God, what a legacy to think of that you did these things in the 30s or 40s and sort of assumed they would just go out in the ether and disappear.
Right.
And here we are 80 and 90 years later
still
sharing them. It's an incredible feeling. It's like time travel, but without a machine.
And we usually have Steve on to talk about Nostalgia Digest magazine. It's one of my favorites, and it's just always a great read. And we usually don't promote other radio shows, but this Those Were the Days at 50 years old is just such a milestone in Chicago. And, you know, the celebration for this was going to be a couple years ago. Pandemic hit. Everything got delayed. So now on Sunday, April 10th, at the Irish American Heritage Center in Chicago. It's at 1 p.m., and you have a big show, big salute, and a live performance from a lot of really cool people.
Yes, we'll be recreating some moments from the golden age of radio with some very special guests, including a guy named, is it Plier?
It's Plier.
Plier, pardon me.
Yes, I had to get clearance from the network to appear, but yes, I'll be there.
You'll be there.
Yeah, I'm a small name. Tell some of the fun folks.
Sure. Well, let's see. I mean, Rich Coes, of course, who's a great friend of ours, and Scott Lowell from the Showtime series Queer as Folk.
Tim Kazurinsky.
Tim Kazurinsky, of course, from Saturday Night Live and the Police Academy movies and all over the place. A couple of folks from Mystery Science Theater 3000, Kevin Murphy and Mary Jo Peel.
And, of course, you will be there, and the original host and founder of Those Were the Days, Chuck Shaden, will be there.
Absolutely. You know, and we've...
Is he bringing ice cream? For everybody.
Yes, if you follow That's Chuck on Facebook, you'll know. Yes, he has a fondness. He does love the dairy.
He does. He does. Yeah.
He will scream for it. No, I think we're going to try to pay tribute to Chuck as much as to the golden age of radio. So I mean, Chuck will be there certainly. He will be as close to a guest of honor as anyone can be.
Yeah.
And I think, yes, in a way, I'd like to think that the fact all these people came together to do these recreations and share these moments that meant so much to all of us collectively, I think that in its way is as much a tribute to Chuck as it is to the original casts of these shows.
And of course, a cast of thousands. And I think I was there for the, was it the 40th?
Or 45th. That's right.
45th? Okay.
That's right.
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And it's just a great walk down memory lane. Of course, it's at the Irish American Heritage Center in Chicago, Sunday, April 10th. And on NostalgiaDigest.com, you can get a ticket link on that page too to get you.
Absolutely. You'll see a link on the main page. Click on that. You'll be ready to buy.
We're talking to Those Were the Days host, Steve Darnall. And of course, we're going to talk about the newest edition of Nostalgia Digest magazine next here on 720 WGN. State Player on 720 WGN. We are talking to Steve Darnall. He's the editor-in-chief of Nostalgia Digest magazine. So how did you get involved in all this? Because, okay, there was a legacy with Chuck with the show. There was a legacy of Chuck with the magazine. You got involved with the magazine first, I think, right?
I did. Yeah. I did. I mean, I'd been a fan of Chuck and Those Were the Days since the 70s. And I'd contributed to Nostalgia Digest over the years, writing articles and whatnot. And then in 2004, Chuck and I went out to lunch. And I don't want to mention the name of the restaurant, but I should tell them that plaque apparently has fallen down. I'm kidding. But Chuck had been looking to cut back on his workload and asked if I would like to take over the magazine. And... you know, it was a daunting prospect, but I also thought my taking it over and perhaps doing whatever happens would be preferable to someone else taking it over and me not being happy with that.
Gotcha.
I became the publisher in 2005, and so yeah, we're just finishing up our 17th year at the helm.
Wow.
Yes, I'll tell you, when you publish four times a year, the years really fly,
David. I bet they do.
But it's still an amazing experience, and of course, this year, we got to go digital. We've still got the digest available in print format, but...
Yeah, I still want that.
Of course, but this way, you know, if you're traveling and you want to settle a bet about, you know, what network was Bing Crosby on, open up the file. It's right there. So, yes, it's one of those things we're doing for subscribers because, you know, we've realized to get print and digital, we hope that's sufficient impetus to subscribe. And, of course, it also means that with back issues that have gone out of print, we can make some of those available as well.
I love that. I love that very much. Bing Crosby's on the spring edition. And, you know, it's a story about him being a pioneer in pre-recorded radio, you know, recording shows in advance. And sometimes, you know, depending on who I have on the show and guests, I'm on their schedule and 8 o'clock on a Friday might not work for them. So I do, you know, tape a little bit in advance because it just does work. And I want to make sure it's entertaining for our audience. But we have to thank Bing for that, right?
Yes, absolutely. Bing Crosby was the one who convinced the networks that they could pre-record their top stars without either a commensurate loss of quality, sonic quality, or without audiences turning it off thinking it would sound canned, you know? And of course, you know, the joke was in Bing's case, people would always say, oh, it gave him more time for golf. But in fact, maybe. You know, it also meant that you could stop if you sang a bum note. It meant that also, as you say, you know, if Spike Jones or
another William, guest wasn't available.
Right. If William Powell wasn't available that Wednesday night, then you talk when he's free. And it also meant, yes, that if you could do three shows in a week, then maybe you can do a movie the next 3 weeks and so on and so forth. But yeah, Bing was really the first person to make that leap. Yeah. And by the late 40s and early 50s, virtually all the network shows were being pre-recorded. And certainly people like Bob Hope and Jack Benny and Al Jolson appreciated that opportunity.
I bet they did. I bet they did. Of course, the dramas and the comedies, too. Gene Kelly, there's one about his early career. Also, you know, suspense. And that's what I really love about that. And I said it's really one of my favorites. You know, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. But, you know, there's also, you know, when people think about what was the first TV sitcom, and I like that you dive into TV, too. Mm-hmm. It's not Lucy. It's not, you know, the Honeymooners. It's the earliest ones that we remember and that we have a lot of content to watch. But it was a show called Mary Kay and Johnny, and they were a married couple. They were 15-minute sitcoms, but that was the thing. That was the first comedy that was developed for television.
Absolutely, yes. It's one of those things that, again, I'm really proud of the writers who come in with ideas for stories of things that people might have forgotten about. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's great to pay tribute to Bing Crosby or James Cagney. They deserve it. But yes, to have something like this, you know, because yes, who else would be writing about Mary Kay and Johnny? And dare I say it, who else would be publishing it alongside a piece about Ann Sheridan or suspense on radio?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things Chuck Shaden taught me, and a lot of us at Nostalgia Digest, was nostalgia is a very broad umbrella.
It's true.
And,
it's very true. And it changes and it shifts.
Well, it does. It does. And I mean, I know the boomers have things pretty well covered. I don't think we need to publish articles about Woodstock because I think they've talked enough about that. But that also means that the things that weren't the Woodstocks, that weren't the James Cagneys and Humphrey Bogarts, you know, they risk receding farther into the background.
True. Yeah.
And yes, the idea that somebody was writing and producing a 15-minute live situation comedy, and even to the point where I think Mary Kay and Johnny, you know, when Mary Kay became, Stearns became pregnant.
Pregnant, yeah.
They wrote that into the show.
Lucy wasn't the first.
No.
And they couldn't say pregnant either, of course.
They couldn't, although, and I don't think they had the luxury of calling on all the different religious leaders to weigh in either.
Right.
Because it was all just happening right there live. It was on the TV by the seat of your pants.
Nostalgia Digest, how do folks get it? It's 4 times a year. Talk about
subscriptions. Sure. Nostalgia Digest print and digital subscriptions are available at nostalgiadigest.com. Or if you don't have a computer, you can call our offices at 773-769-6575.
Well, this is going to be a great event. And again, try to get your tickets this weekend because tickets will close. So you got this weekend to get them. For tickets to the 50th anniversary of Those Were the Days, Sunday, April 10th at the Irish American Heritage Center can be purchased. Go to the link at nostalgiadigest.com. And for more on Nostalgia Digest, the subscription, you can go to nostalgiadigest.com for that as well. And if you want to peek into Chuck and some of his old interviews and so forth, speakingofradio.com is the place to go for that. And I will see you this weekend, my friend.
Yes. My goodness. About 48 hours.
It's
a date.
Great.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, sir. All right. News is next here on 720 WGN.